Throughout the early childhood years, there are opportunities for every child's potential to blossom and for a lifelong love of learning to begin. Welcome to Lilio. Our solutions for center management, family engagement, teaching and learning, and professional development have impacted countless educators, children, and families. We stand as a symbol of quality and commitment to early childhood education, with the belief that early educators have the power to change children's lives and ultimately the world. Lilio, the building blocks for high-quality childcare. Learn more at www.lilio.com.
Hey everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate, though, because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives, is the whole point. Each week, I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Lemonada.
I'm Kiki Monique, and this is I'm Sorry, the unapologetic show about apologies. And this week, it's confirmed, I like cats more than I like people.
Wow. And this is Mohana Dilshekhi, and I do agree, and I'm also here with a new royal conspiracy. Is King Charles alive? Do we know that? I have no idea.
Oh, good question.
I don't
good
think
question.
He is. Yeah, we've seen him one time. I don't think he's alive. Just saying.
Oh, my God. And I'm Oha Lopez, and this week, I realize that I'm not good at a series of things that I should be good at, including reading the time in a non-digital way, Roman numerals, and knowing the alphabet as well as the months. I don't know all of these things very well, and I think it's because I moved around a lot when I was a kid, and so I think I got confused in certain lessons. But
oh, is that why?
Yeah, I can't be stupid, right? Like, that's no. Not a possibility.
What a brag. Oh, I was like, yeah, sometimes I just get the time wrong and I have these flaws, but just because I'm well-traveled. I've just been in so many places, I can't tell time anymore. I'm just always permanently jet-lagged.
You know, I will say one thing I am judgy McJudgerson about is when people don't know whether a month has 30 or 31 days.
Oh my
like,
God, I have no idea.
I really do get judgmental about that.
Yeah, because it's just like, we've gone through the same months. How are you not aware? Like, if you can talk, it means that you have done at least 5 years. So it should be, you know, have them on lock right now.
I will say August is the most confusing, though, because August feels like it should only have 30 days, but it has 31. So I give people a pass on August.
Wow. I really do not know. I know that February is the shortest month of the year, and I know that December, because there's a December 31st, but I don't have any idea about any of the other months, I think, aside from those two.
Wow.
I'm so sorry, you guys. I'm in your pet peeve. I'm in the pocket here of your pet peeve. No, but I realized the other day I just heard people saying the alphabet backwards. Girl. I could not do it.
No one can do that. Who can do that?
It's one of those things that it's not that people can't do it, but people who do it and they do it in front of you and it's like, do you want me to be impressed right now? Like, this is like seriously the most useless shit.
So impressed when they were doing it. I was literally like mouth ajar going like, you are a superhero. Like, I don't know. Their trick was working on me. It really did.
They might as well write in cursive and do some algebra. Like, it's just useless. Just useless.
Yeah, it's like if you're like, I can speak Dutch. And it's just like, okay, cool.
Okay, if you guys are trying to impress someone, what are your go-to things when you're trying to impress people?
I don't know. I mean, I'm myself and I'm pretty impressive. I am confident enough to say that when I roll up in a place, I feel confident enough in myself.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I have something specific, truly.
Yeah. You don't have, like, your go-to arsenal of, like, oh, I'm about to have a good conversation no matter what.
No, it's like I have those moments, like, when I, like, learn a new word and I, like, know how to use it. I will maybe overuse that word for, like, a couple of weeks.
This is me literally every time I read a book, which happens not often. But I pick up two new words and or it's not even like words, okay? Sometimes it's a topic. And I have to bring it back to that topic no matter what the conversation is.
Yeah. It's like when I went to France for 3 weeks and then my friends were like, you need to shut the fuck up about France, Oha, for like 6 months after I came back.
It's just that you can't, you know, like, especially like if you go to a part of France that people don't usually go to, you're like, I'm going to bring it up. You know?
Yeah.
You're like, oh yeah, this weather reminds me of when I was there. You know, it's so crazy.
Yeah, your personality sort of like, it starts becoming France, or it starts becoming whatever book you just read or whatever show you just watched.
Well, that the new version of that is TikTok. When you get into TikTok, literally for like 6 months, all you can say to your friends is like, so I saw on TikTok. So I learned on TikTok. So I heard on TikTok. It's like, do you look at anything else? No, actually, I don't. It's like 12 hours a day.
I'm one of those people that's like, I just read a peer-reviewed article from LexisNexis. And my friend is like, do you mean TikTok? And I'm like, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. I feel. Here's the thing, okay? I don't know if we... if reading books is in still. Like... Are we like? I feel like it's one of those things where I'm just like, are we still supposed to do that? Like, am I supposed to be like, you know, still, sometimes like I would find an article or something just to convince myself like that watching, like visual form of that book is enough. It's like reading a book.
Totally.
Yeah,
like an infograph is a text.
I just don't know. Like, I can't sit down and just read. The only thing that books do for me now, like if I'm on a plane, like a long flight, and I cannot fall asleep, all I have to do is truly read three lines from a book and I immediately fall asleep.
I will say, I have friends whose the cornerstone of their entire personality is that they read a lot of books. And I love them for it. I love it about them. I do think that there is like some people out there who read books fervently, but it does feel like culture is kind of like taking us away from that. And it's more like you're getting your fix of that fast, immediate thing. And books are just this longer experience that you have to kind of like patiently get through. And if you don't have that, then it's really hard to get into
it. It's just funny because it's very, books are like very descriptive, you know, like they will like go into detail about everything.
That is the funniest thing you've ever said.
No, seriously.
I feel like you're trying to like... prove Kanye is the visionary that he believes himself to be, because like the fact that he's saying he does not read books, like, what are you saying, that this is the future, just to say like I don't do books?
it truly is because books are like his eyelids close and now all he can see is darkness and these, like, bro, just say he went to sleep. Like, what are we doing?
My favorite thing that Kanye said about the, so he said, I actually haven't read any book, but my favorite part of that quote is, quote, reading is like eating Brussels sprouts for me and talking is like getting the Giorgio Ribaldi corn ravioli.
I feel like we would have to read in order to understand that second reference, or do we not?
Or just be like a wealthy person in Los Angeles or wherever Giorgio Baldio is making corn ravioli.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because these people like experience those things, you know, they don't really read about them.
The irony is that Kanye studied English in college. So
that's why he's done with reading. Yeah,
he was a college dropout, so that album made him a billionaire. So, you know, maybe he's right. Why do we need to read?
Look, I mean, I get it that people who read, it's like when I tell people like the way I watch TV, to me it's very normal. I'm just like, this is how people consume TV. But then I talk to people like, hey, have you watched this? Have you done, and they haven't watched most of the stuff I've watched. Or they're not like as quick as I do, because sometimes like I start like watching a TV show, me and my friend, and I'm texting him about like an episode, and they're like, "Where are you?" I'm like, "I'm at season 6. I know it's been 5 days, but I've just been doing it." I'm like, "How do you do anything else?" I'm like, "I can just watch TV and also work. That's fine."
Yeah. And I feel like I feel smarter if I choose to binge on things like documentaries, right? Like versus like, you know, Real Housewives. Like if I'm like totally like something that is nonfiction or I feel like I'm learning something, it's just as good.
We should go to Donda Academy. And we should go to Donda Academy and we'll get right enrolled in this Christian private school that Kanye created. And I'm sure we'll develop our taste for books at Donda.
But are you sending your kid to a school with no books? Is that I mean, I'm not saying they don't have books, but it seems like that would be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's such a normal thing to send your kids to school. Not only that doesn't have books, that also makes you sign an NDA. And it's a religious school. Nothing bad has ever happened out of something like this.
Never at all.
Yeah, exactly. It's so funny because, like, to me, Connie just like saw the Catholic Church and was just like, okay, this is what they've done wrong. And that's why we have NDAs. We're going to avoid all of that stuff.
I just want to know the parent. Like, I need to stand outside the first day. I mean, maybe first day of Donda Academy has already happened, but I want to see the parents who are bringing their kids to Donda Academy. I need to know. I want to talk to them. I want to have coffee with them. I want to understand why they decided to make that decision. I want to talk to the kids themselves. I want to find out what happened during the day.
I'm trying to think of like what would happen in a Kiki Academy. And I feel like it would be like drinks with friends. And you'd be like teaching just like drinks with friends happy hour. You'd also be teaching extreme online sleuthing. Like you'd have an online detective class.
I'm just imagining the like the admission exams where just like they have three bagels in front of them and they're just like, what's your favorite one? And if they pick the wrong one, it's like, you shouldn't come here or to any school, honestly. You're a bad person.
Oh, yeah. The first kid that picks cinnamon raisin, which there'll be a lot of them because kids like raisins, they're immediately expelled.
Two FBI agents just come from behind the curtain and like, just take them.
I want like that Men in Black sort of pen and I want to evaporate their brain too on the way out.
Oh, that's really fun.
Throughout the early childhood years, there are opportunities for every child's potential to blossom, for curiosity to spark, and for a lifelong love of learning to begin. Welcome to Lilio. We develop innovative tools that revolutionize the connection between daycare centers and families and help empower educators, enabling them to nurture young minds and build strong bonds. Through our solutions for center management, family engagement, and teaching and learning, plus professional development through Lilio Academy, where educators can earn continuing education credits at their own pace, we've impacted countless educators, children, and families. We stand as a symbol of quality and commitment to early childhood education. With the belief that early childhood educators have the power to change children's lives and ultimately the world. Join us in nurturing the future. Welcome to Lilio, the building blocks for high quality childcare. Learn more at www.lilio.com.
Do you ever get hit with a cringy memory of your 13-year-old self out of nowhere and suddenly you're panic sweating and laughing at the same time? Don't worry. We all get that. It's because being an adolescent is one of the most visceral shared experiences we have as people. And we want to talk about it. Join me, Penn Badgley, and my two friends, Nava and Sophie, on Podcrushed as we interview celebrity guests about the joys and horrors of being a teenager and how those moments made them who they are today. New episodes of Podcrushed are out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
So Adam Levine.
Yes.
Adam Levine, the Adam Levine of it all. Okay, Kiki, tell me. Tell me more about Adam. This is the juiciest thing ever. I want to know, because I've been following like the stuff that you've been posting and kind of like trying to read, but there's so much information coming out so quickly. It's hard to keep up.
I mean, it's so fast. And you know, what I love about when things like this break out of nowhere is... because I was like doing something else when this like broke out on TikTok, this IG model released this video on TikTok and I just start getting like DMs that are like, Adam Levine. And I don't even have to like, all I have to do is see the name and I'm like, go to TikTok, which is, you would learn that in Kiki Academy. It's like, first stop, TikTok, second stop, Twitter. Like, this is where you go, right? So this IG model, Sumner Stroh, says that essentially one of her friends was about to blackmail her. Or had been blackmailing her. Sumner said that she had been having an affair with Adam Levine and sending screenshots to her friends, you know, that she, you know, as you would if you were having an affair with a
hell yeah,
famous person.
I would tell everybody.
Like, look what they said to me. And that this friend was taking this to a tabloid to sell it. And so she felt like, you know what, I'm just going to, as she said, rip the Band-Aid off and just like expose myself. Which, I mean, she got up to 10 million views in no time. This is like what's going on. And the DMs are very much, they're very like frat boyish. The responses that we're seeing from Adam Levine of just like, ooh, yeah, you're hot. And just like really just like basic dude stuff.
I've seen the text messages, the DMs and everything. And obviously, you know, they're weird because like he's married.
Yes, he's been married. He's been with Bahati for, I think, 10 years.
To a Victoria's Secret model. To, like, what we would consider the epitome of hotness.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if he's married or not. And to be fair, I don't think he is sure if he's married or not, too. So we have that in common.
Yeah.
But his DMs are so funny to me. Like, I already tweeted this, but he literally tweets like he only listens to Maroon 5. Like, that's his favorite band. Like, what are you doing? The way he just, like, writes, like, it's so, like, if you showed me these DMs and were like, guess who sent them? I would never guess it was a famous singer, you know, like that. Like, why are you texting like this? Are you a little boy? What's happening?
Well, and that's the thing, because you assume that rich people are not managing their own social media accounts. So it's like, of course, like your antennas go up anytime people are showing you DMs, right? Because you're just like, why would they be managing yourself? And then your antennas go up too, because, you know, Sumner said that, you know, allegedly they had an affair for a year. So you would think like, wouldn't this have gone, you know, to the text messages off this at this point? Now, I will say I got a DM from someone that wanted to remain anonymous, that said she was having an affair with a famous comedian. She wouldn't tell me who. I tried to get it out. And that their entire relationship was maintained in the DMs. And that the whole team, you know, even the people, all the whole team around knew that they were having this affair or whatever, but they kept it to DMs. And she said, like, that was how they did it. So it's interesting that maybe that is the place. Now, two other women came forward with their DMs. And it seems clear that, like, look, these women, the other woman, one of the other women was clear. I never met Adam. I never met him in real life, but I just thought his DMs were inappropriate. He was calling me hot. When I started reading her DMs, that did feel like it was a social media manager, because I just couldn't imagine Adam having this like months long conversation about tattoos.
Who does that?
You know, I was like, I know we're bored.
Yeah.
But come on.
Yeah. I always have this like vision of like, how are these celebrity dudes not sleeping with a ton of people if there are all these people that are like kind of like throwing themselves at them and willing to have like relationships with them aside from like their marriage situation. Like, I guess that's how I always envisioned a very like wealthy celebrities. So whenever I hear about it, I'm like, I thought that's what they were all doing. Is that like, do you guys feel the same way?
Yeah, I feel the same way, but I mean, that's what I assume they do too. It's just like, I think about with him, it's just like the fact that you were married. That's the issue here. But also what I thought was so fucking creepy and weird was him asking the model if he can name his kid after her. And it's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Why are you bringing up? And it wasn't even her, only her. He brought up with Sumner. Yeah. Like, can I name, you know, I'm having another kid. If it's going to be a boy, I want to name it after you. Is that okay? Follows it up with the like, huh, emoji when she doesn't respond right away. But then to the third woman that came out, this like Marika, who's also like an Instagram model or whatever, he says in the DM, he confirms, I am having a boy. We're going to name him Z. He's going to be a badass. Now, that to me is where, like, if I were Bahati, I would have beheaded him, okay?
Oh, man. How do you guys feel about what he said about it? Because he did come out and, I guess, post on his Instagram story and sort of, like, didn't kind of fess up to everything that she's saying, but did sort of fess up to having kind of, like, crossed the lines only in the DMs without ever having actually, like, met this person. There is something to me of, like, where there's smoke, there's fire in that sense. It's like it would have been so easy for him to take that next sort of step if he's already opening the door to, like, even flirtatious, like, DMs and, like, just kind of exploring. Like, to me, it's, I don't know. I guess it's kind of a he said, she said situation, but I'm definitely more inclined to believe Sumner.
Yeah, no, but it's one of the things, like, if I saw, like, your Google searches and all it said was how to hide a body, and it was just, like, multiple times, I know you haven't killed me yet, but still, I don't want to associate with you. Like, you've already done the research and have done the work, and that's enough.
That's enough for me to know that you know where to hide a body.
Exactly, yeah.
There was an account who had done, and I can't remember, there was an account who had done a pretty good breakdown of his statement that he made. And I thought what was interesting, and I'm trying to pull it up, was like they pointed out, like, he started the whole statement out, like, about himself. He's just like, you know, and so it's like, it shows the narcissism side. And then he kept referring, I think twice in the statement he made, he referred to my wife instead of saying the name Bahati. And this account was pointing out how, like, again, he's really showing how it's like this ownership possession versus, like, trying to say her name, like Bahati, which is what he should be saying. And I just thought it was interesting. It didn't, you know, it was like he said he was, you know, taking responsibility, but he was not. Because here's the thing. Let's say you didn't even have a physical affair. You still had emotional, you know, there was what your definition of cheating is like whatever. Now, look. Now, some people are saying the rumors are they've had an open relationship. And so in my world, I would have been more actually happy that they did have an open relationship. And they actually came out and said, you know what? None of that, not that it's any of your business, but we do have an open relationship and we're fine with it. Because I don't know, it would have given me, like, kind of a different way to look at them, maybe look at celebrities who are trying to maintain this, you know, like, typical nuclear kind of household. Like, no, maybe there's plenty of couples in Hollywood who have open relationship, and let's be honest about it.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, what I would do if I was in a situation where, like, somebody wanted to know more about my life than I was open to sharing about, and then they found out about it without me necessarily, like, being able to talk. I mean, that's really, I guess, stressful. But at the same time, I mean, just to quote my friend Emily Rose, she's like, honey, if you're doing crack, I'm going to talk about you doing crack. Like, there's no, like, you can't just do crazy shit and expect people not to gossip about it, not to talk about it. And so I think maybe there is that thing again of, like, we have these celebrities who expect this privacy, but then I don't know how they think it's not coming out is really what I'm saying. Like, you have all these eyes on you. Like, how did he not think that this was going to come out?
But even if it did, I mean, let's think about it. Like, he's been rich and powerful for a while. I mean, look, even yesterday we saw for the first time him and Bahati together, and they kept pointing out in the Daily Mail article their $52 million house, which I didn't even realize they lived in a $52 million house. God. But let's, okay. So, like, they're rich and powerful. So even when bad things come out, you know you're not affected. We've seen it. Like, you will be fine. You might have to go away for a little bit. Like, and by go away, I mean, like, just stay out of the, like, the limelight. But then someone pointed out something interesting to me too, which I was like, God, you know, PR, publicists do think this far ahead. Sometimes you're so rich and famous and you know at some point you're going to be irrelevant that you let these little scandals happen and you don't care, because if it does come out one day, you'll be relevant again when it does come out.
There is, like, a whole machine of fame and, like, of marketing that I think is, like, beyond our wildest dreams. And it makes sense. Like, it totally makes sense that something like that exists. It's just sort of scary and creepy, and also makes it all feel a little less real, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's totally fake. I mean, let's be real. I mean, it's all so, everything's so contrived, which is like, which is why I like, again, which is why I love TikTok. And I love how celebrities get called out on TikTok for like, they can't be fake there. They're forced to be nothing but their authentic self. Like, the Kardashians are not faring well in the TikTok land. And, you know, you kind of love to see that.
I mean, love to see them not doing well at any on any platform, to be honest.
Oh my God.
But it's so fucked up, because like, it is like one of these groups that even if they're like being hated, they're still making money out of it.
Oh yeah.
If they're being loved, they're making money out of it. I want that.
Yeah.
I want that. That's what we're really jealous of.
In my life, to just make money no matter what.
Yeah.
Any publicity.
I completely agree.
Yeah. I just feel like this Adam Levine thing is not going to be over yet. There's going to come, like, more people are going to come out, and it's just going to be like, going to get worse and worse. And to be honest, it's just like one of those things, like, the more you look at him, the more you look like everything about him, it kind of tracks. Just like, yeah, the guy whose body is a, looks like a driver's license. Absolutely. Yeah. It has a state on it and numbers and stuff like that. Yeah. It makes sense to me.
He definitely has a sort of like a fuckboy vibe to him, which is what I think made him so hot to so many people for so long.
Yes.
I think he definitely has kind of the bad boy vibe for sure. So again, sort of like not necessarily that surprising. Have y'all ever... Like, I've never caught, like, any person that I've ever been with, like, kind of, like, inappropriately DMing somebody else. But have y'all ever, like, had a friend or caught anybody that you were with kind of, like, because there is a difference between, like, sort of, like, flirty texts or flirty DM stuff versus, like, getting out there. You know what I mean?
Are you asking me if I've ever gone through an ex-boyfriend's phone? Have you met me?
I can only imagine. Yeah. Is that another Kiki class for
I've
sure?
I've definitely like gone through some ex's phone. Yes.
Did you find stuff you didn't
absolutely,
like?
Absolutely. Because here's the thing. Because the only reason you're going through a phone is because your instincts have already told you something's wrong.
Yeah.
So there's no way you're not finding anything. Once you've reached that point of no return, just be prepared for all the things you're going to see, because you're going to see some stuff.
Yeah. I've gone through like my current partner's phone, but like in a very innocent way. It wasn't that I thought I was going to like find anything. It was more of just like, I wonder what they're up to in here. And it's just like looking at like things that they like their Instagram or something like that. I don't think I clicked into like any of the conversations, but.
Are you the type of people that like hand your phone over like and just like let people scroll? Like, I would never let anyone scroll through my photos, scroll through my messages. Never.
Me too. Yeah. It's honestly like, it's not that, because for me, it's not like about like having something to hide. It's more like, I don't know what embarrassing shit I've screenshotted for like no reason or like a text message that I've sent. Like, you know, it's not like it's nothing that would get me in trouble. It's something that would just make me feel embarrassed, kind of. It's like, again, like to get back to Google searches, like I'm not Googling anything like, you know, fucked up, but it's just like I'm Googling stuff that I find sometimes embarrassing and very specific. Like, if you go through my Google search and you find something like how to fold an ironing board, I don't want you to see that.
That's pretty embarrassing, Mo.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. After season one aired, I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few, and of course, my 90-year-old mom, Judy. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me Season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Hi, I'm June Diane Raphael.
And I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And each week, we are sitting down to talk all about life's twists, turns, and absurdities on The Deep Dive.
From exploring the depths of TikTok, which is our only news source, to navigating the complexities of grief and loss, we are just two best friends behind a mic processing life together.
This podcast is all about finding the silver linings in the madness. So get ready for unfiltered conversations about motherhood, careers, pop culture, and everything in between.
Here at The Deep Dive, we're all about community. We believe in the power of sharing experiences and the strength that comes from supporting one another. And we would love to have you with us.
So be sure to join us every Wednesday on The Deep Dive from Lemonada Media, wherever you get your podcasts.
Quick, tell me what your searches are. I want to know what your last searches are.
My last searches?
Yes. I want to see what are the last few things that you searched on your phone?
But how do I even look to see? I don't know.
Mine is mostly about Adam Levine, honestly, because I was like preparing for this episode.
That's what I'm saying. It's, yeah, usually whatever the latest thing is that I've been like gone into a deep dive about. I mean,
exactly. Yeah.
My most embarrassing is probably like Bo Burnham girlfriend. Like if there's ever a celebrity that I really like, I'm like, do they have a girlfriend? And then. And then I just continue about my day. I don't do anything about it.
You know what's
I just
funny?
Need to know whether or not I still have a chance.
On my YouTube search, Bo Burnham appears twice recently.
That's right.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because yesterday I was listening to his, it's not even a complete song. It's that video of him, I don't know if you've seen it, where I can't believe you're making me vote for Joe Biden.
Yeah, I love that video.
It's, okay. It's like 30 seconds. But truly such a catchy song. It's so funny. And he, like, I think he, when he filmed his latest special, he then, after that, released the takeouts, and it was one of the takeouts. And it was right before the elections when Joe Biden was, like, clearly, like, the front runner. And I think it was the sentiment that everyone shared. We're just like, I can't believe that you're making me vote for Joe Biden. It's like he's a Democrat and I just have to do it. But
I'm going to go ahead right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw it in English as a second language flag that I've got to throw because I'm no ESL. But I know what you mean. And you meant to say outtakes, but you said takeout. And that outtakes. To me is the most precious thing you've outtakes. Ever done in our entire friendship bond.
It is true. And I'll tell you, you know what? I tend to do that because when you translate most of these things in Arabic, it's the other way around.
Yeah.
You know, like these like words, like it's just like they're always like flipped.
Oh, I call, what do I call? I say, I have to double think about this instead of I'm having second thoughts. I say double thinking about something.
Exactly.
Because
I translated from like my language to English. And I also do the thing with, because there is no P sound in Arabic. It's only B. Whenever like a word has a B or a P, I have to think about it for a second because I'm not sure which one it's spelled with. Because I don't know if you remember like when IHOP changed their name to IHOP.
I do remember that briefly.
And I was just like, oh, I always assumed that was IHOP. I had no idea it was a P.
Oh my god. Yeah, I love all my email cell moments. Have I told you one time I tried to say I'll tell you about this whole thing. It's like I was in college essentially and I wanted to go study with some people from a specific class and I was also in a marketing class where we were talking about like something called a oh my God, I already lost it. Anyways, I was trying to say the word study group, and instead I thought of the word focus group, which is the marketing thing, but couldn't think of the word focus. So then I said concentration camp instead this is what I'm telling you guys. I told a group of people in college that if they wanted to be in a concentration camp with
me, God.
Instead of asking them if they wanted to be in a study group with me. And nobody responded to me.
I wouldn't.
Nobody responded to me.
I'm surprised you weren't like,
yeah, just immediately canceled. But I went, I went from study group to focus group to concentration camp.
Oh my
but
God.
You can see how I got there, right?
I see
it now. Okay.
Yeah.
I see the process. Just, yes.
Yeah.
When did you figure it out that you had gone wrong? And did you send a follow-up?
I sort of didn't talk about it again for a really long time until I think I just realized it. Because it was just, I just sort of realized it maybe like a couple years later. I don't know. I must have been like alone in my room doing something stupid, thinking about it, going like, what did I do? And being like, I said concentration camp when what I meant was study group.
Oh my God.
But yeah, that's probably my worst bottom of the barrel ESL moment.
My God. Yeah. I don't think I've had something like that, to be honest.
Yeah, and not knowing the
that might be the worst one. it's insane.
I know, it's really bad.
It is so funny. Yeah, I would love to see the conversation they had on the side.
I was being eviscerated on the side.
Well, I guess we have some apologies.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
right. Well,
yeah,
I already
yeah.
did mine.
Oh, yeah,
I apologize to the 2007 graduating class of University of Houston for ruining their day with a single text message anyways.
That is so funny. Well, we're going to move to my favorite segment, which is Sorry Not Sorry, where we either apologize to someone for something or we ask for an apology. And I'm going to start with you, Oha. I know you've had one, but... You have to give us another one. No one, like you okay. literally could have saved that. You knew you could have saved that, but you chose this.
I should have saved it. Okay. I would like to apologize to the country of Mexico because, you know, I come here and I hang out with my family and I have a great time. And then I still go and I try to haggle with people over prices. And yesterday I decided, you know what? I'm just going to try to pay whatever it is that they're asking me to pay if I think it's like not completely like inflated. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I feel like I owe it to the country of Mexico to just bring my money here and actually spend it here and give it to the people. Because I get a lot from this place and I love this place. And I just think I need to put my money where my mouth is and just spend it here. So I'm going to stop haggling as much with all the vendors that I have around here in my life.
I mean, my thing is like, I don't know, like do vendors like that? I feel like some of them do.
Yeah, like it's a game.
Yeah, it's. I feel like it's always fun for them. It's just like, because I have friends who are like, you know, go to Morocco or like, countries in North Africa or so, like Egypt yeah. and all of that, and they don't haggle. They just don't. That's not a concept that they understand. Or they just like you can like haggle like with street vendors and stuff like that, and they just give them a price and they're like, okay, I'll just buy it. And it's just like, I'm sure they're surprised too. And be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like this is literally, this does not cost $50. This costs $5, and you're not willing to go with me on this like. Journey like this cost me $1 to get and you're just buying it, you fucking dummy.
Yeah, did you guys ever watch that video? And it was like in Nepal of a Nepalese woman like chasing down a white woman because the white woman was like haggling her over this one thing and she was like, you fucking tourists, come here and like you want to pay me like a tenth of what I'm like, don't haggle with me, you heinous bitch. And then she just chases her down a mountain with a stick.
But here's the thing, what's funny to me, because it's just like sometimes street vendors, like you can like tell that this is like a haggleable thing.
Yeah.
You know, but sometimes it's a store that has prices. You're not haggling. That's how much it is. It's like walking into, I don't know, H&M. It's $20. You're going to pay $20. You're not going to haggle with the customer service person.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes people travel and they just assume everything is just like, every price is open to them. Just like, what the
everything
fuck are you doing?
Everything is up for negotiation. Yeah.
No, this is $20. You're going to pay $20 or just leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're at a grocery store, not like a fruit stand. There's a difference.
Oh, haggling stresses me out, but my mom lives and dies for it.
Oh, my mom
will haggle.
Too.
Until my mom, oh my God, sometimes it's embarrassing, you guys. Sometimes I'm like, Mom, just pay the man $3 so we can go home. I'm tired.
Sometimes with my mom, it becomes a hostage situation. This man doesn't want to sell anymore. This man just want to go home back to his family. He wants to see his kids again. And he feels like he's not.
Yeah.
Well, Kiki, what do you have this week?
I'm actually keeping with the theme of Adam Levine, because Adam Levine is the only thing on my mind this week. And it came to my attention. Someone sent me this article and I had forgotten about it. But back in, I believe, 2012 or maybe 2007, I can't remember when it was. But it was when Jennifer Love Hewitt was single, and it was when Adam Levine had just broken up with someone. And Jennifer Love Hewitt went on the Ellen show, and somehow they got into like who, you know, Jennifer, you know, had a crush on, and she admitted that she had a crush on Adam Levine and she had her eye on him. And then when Adam came on the show, you know, he called Jennifer Love Hewitt aggressive for saying that she had a crush on him. And then when, you know, Ellen was trying to joke around and say, like, I could play matchmaker, he was kind of like, I'm good. And you know what? I just want an apology on behalf of Jennifer Love Hewitt, because that was like kind of rude. And now that we know sort of like who Adam is, I now just see like you're a dick. And if a hot girl says she has a crush on you, just say thank you.
Yeah.
I agree, Kiki. What a dickwad. Especially on national TV, just be like, oh my God, she's so cute. Thank you. I'll have to give her a call and you know, we'll hang out. And then just leave it at that. Oh my God, he's such a douche nozzle. Sorry. I actually think I maybe dislike Adam Levine a lot. So, and I don't usually dislike people often.
Yeah, why would you like him? I don't know if there's anything likable about that man.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for validating my emotions.
No, I agree. I'm just going to keep with the theme of travel, which I've been doing literally, because I've just been traveling, and literally every city I go to, I discover something new that I hate. And I think it's mostly airports that I realize that are, I feel like there should be a way to make every airport standards like are very similar to the other one, because I am tired of learning about new places every time.
Yes.
It's just like, okay, I was traveling and from Santa Fe back to New York a few days ago.
Yeah.
And we had to stop at Phoenix. And my flight got there at 7 p.m. And here's my thing, okay? Why is it that in Phoenix Airport, mostly every food place closes at like 7? Is that ethical?
No, that seems wrong.
Does that make sense to anyone? Why would you do that? Especially that my flight was like after 3 hours and it's 6-hour flight. So are you expecting me to go 9 hours without any food?
Ugh.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Like, who closes at 7 p.m.?
Yeah.
Especially that you still have people coming in. Like, your last flight is at 10. Why are you... And what am I going to do? Eat a biscuit on the plane?
That actually sounds really nice right now. Yeah, but yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
And by biscuit, I'm assuming you mean one of those cookies, not like an actual Popeye's biscuit. Okay.
Oh, I wish. No. And then I never get my 10,000 steps in any place more than I do at the airport. Like, I'm literally always close my rings there.
Why is the gate always the last gate?
That's what I'm saying. Has anyone ever had the first gate? I'm always like, I hope I'm the first gate. Never. Never have I been the first gate.
And I feel like it's also like the thing where it's so funny to me, because we always do the thing where it's just like, okay, you're like at gate B35, okay? And like no matter what time you arrive there, you have to do the thing where you like go all the way there, make sure that the gate exists, and then go and do other stuff.
Yeah, you got to check it out. You got to make sure it's where you need it to be. And then I can go stand in a weird line and order digital biscuits.
Because you never know. Because like it happened, like that's why I say like I wish airport were like standard everywhere. Because sometimes they're like, okay, your gate at B35. And you look, I'm like, okay, these are gates B. I know where I am. I'm going to go get some food and hang out. And then right after, before my flight, I will just go there. And then you go there and then you realize B35 is not even here. You have to take a bus to get to it. But it's now too late.
I like that. I think standardizing airports would be really cool.
Yeah.
I think that would be really, really fun. And it doesn't mean that they all have to be the same looking building. It just means like, all terminals are sort of built in a similar way so that you kind of know where you're going no matter when you're there. I love this. I vote for this, and I would like a public apology to you as well.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah, Phoenix Airport, please. Yeah, it's, I mean,
get your shit together.
It's already bad that TSA is always bad. We don't need more shit. Also, this is the opposite of an ad. American Airlines, get your shit together. You're always bad. Truly, worst airlines. And like, it's so funny that you're called American Airlines because truly the worst airlines ever. Like, I've never tried Spirit, but I assume it's not going to be worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I came to America on American Airlines, and that was the last good experience I had with them. That was it. Well, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you next time.
I'm Sorry is a Lemonada Media original. The show is produced by Alex McCohen. Supervising producer is Chrissy Pease. Our executive producers are Stephanie Whittles-Wax and Jessica Cordova Kramer. Our mix is by Kat Yore, and theme music was composed by Xander Singh. If you like this show, please rate and review. And please don't cancel us. You can find out more about our show at Lemonada Media on all social platforms or follow us on Instagram at @I'mSorry_podcast. We'll be back next week. And until then, be nice, play fair, and always say I'm sorry. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Paul F. Tompkins.
I'm Lauren Lapkus.
And I'm Scott Aukerman. And together we make up the show
Freedom!
We're comedians from Los Angeles who are also friends.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? And on our podcast, we just chat with each other, have fun, play games. It's just a good hang.
We just talk about everything that's happened in our lives ever before and up to now and what will happen next.
We see the future.
So the new season's out now. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Wherever you get them.
Wherever.
Listen.
Wherever.
Bye.
Freedom!
Last Day is a show about the moments that change us.
I just don't think I will ever get used to this.
I'm Stephanie Whittles-Wax, and I have had one of these moments. We all have. So let's unpack the chaos that is our human existence together.
I don't believe things happen for a reason. I don't believe the universe has a plan.
Each week, I sit down with a new guest to explore happy, sad stories of transformation.
It's leaning far, far into the pain. That's what it is.
Listen to Last Day wherever you get your podcasts.